DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Self-Help Show. This is Gina, and I am your host. I would like to thank you for tuning in because this is the home for self-healing, self-love, self-care, self-improvement, self-empowerment, all about the self. And this time around, we have expert guests from all walks of life, from all over the world. Today, I am joined by Dr. Jennifer. She's a hypnotherapist. She's also the host of Mind Your Subconscious podcast. And I'm going to hand over to her so she can formally introduce herself before we dive straight into the topic.
Hi, everybody. And hi, Gina. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And so to introduce myself, my name is Jenny, or Jen, however you want it. And I'm a hypnotherapist. I quit my job as a managing editor of 22 newspapers in Los Angeles after my very first hypnosis session to travel the world and work online. And after working odd jobs here and there, I started seeing the effects hypnosis had on my life. And that's when I was like, I actually want to help other people with that. And so I studied the modality. Until now, I even have a PhD in spiritual healing. I'm certified, I'm trauma-informed as well, and I really help people from all walks of life, let it be with their money, let it be with their relationships, let it be with their health, or any other dreams that they have, like their dream home, their dream partner, their dream anything. We can make anything happen with hypnosis, and I really enjoy that about it.
Amazing. This is quite interesting to hear, because sometimes, you know, people choose different paths in life. Having to speak to you about this is really incredible. So I want us to talk a bit more into the topic. By the way, guys, the topic is mind-body healing. So I want us to just dive into what that is like, and we can share some experiences. How can one person kind of solve their problems, have solutions within their life?
Yeah, so I discovered in 2019 that I had tuberculosis at that time. And I started healing myself with meditation, and I realized it's getting better after I meditate, but it was so bad that I had to really take Western medicine, and I had to take pills and everything for it to go away. But then I realized it has not gone away completely, and there was still a cough left, and there was still some phlegm left as well. So my friend at the time said, hey, let me do some theta healing on you. And theta healing is a beautiful modality as well. So he did that on me, and we realized that this tuberculosis actually went back to a bad relationship that I had, or to a toxic relationship that I had back in 2016. And as soon as we found that root cause, it was gone. Like, it was completely gone. Like, it was simply amazing. And I was like, wow, this is really freaking powerful. Like, if we heal something from the past, then it actually has impact in our lives right now. And so with my own clients, I realized that very quickly, I was able to, within a single session, help somebody get rid of tension that they've had in their bodies for 50 years. I was able to help them get rid of back pain that they've had for a whole year, like within a single session. I helped somebody get off antidepressants within two sessions. Like, amazing, incredible results, right? So, and then also diet-wise, like, somebody would only eat sweets or candy stuff because that's the only thing that they would like. And after one session, they would try new things. So I was like, wow, this mind-body connection is really interesting. So that finally, I studied that in my PhD as well. And I took 5 women with endometriosis. And endometriosis is an autoimmune system where you have, like, you have extreme period pain, you have anxiety, you have cysts in your womb, and just overall, you feel like shit, basically. And you dread your cycle every single month. And so I worked with these women, and I actually helped them reduce their pain, reduce their symptoms, and really feel emotionally well. So the results of mind-body healing are just incredible, and I'm a total fan of it.
What's your explanation and take when it comes to just the mind and body connection? The problem, how does it start? How does one see it? How can they identify it?
Yes, absolutely. So every single disease or symptom or everything that you have going on physically, right? Whether that is leg pain, whether that is a cough, whether this is that is an eye problem, whether that is heartache, everything has to do and goes back to an emotion that you have had in your body, that you have felt in your body. Because let's say we have experienced heartache. Who here has experienced heartache, right? Every one of us, I'm sure. And how much is your heart actually hurting? And a lot of times when we do not work around the heartache, when we don't do therapy or when we don't release the heartache or when we don't release the person, then these emotions can actually manifest as something in our bodies, like a problem with the heart, like a heart attack or something. How many people die after their partner has passed away from literal heartache, from a heart attack, from something with their heart? There's so many people like that. So this is a proof of how emotions manifest in our bodies. And for example, I'm just going to give a brief, just a few examples. As I've said, with the heart, it's heartache, it's grief of a person. In the stomach, it's most of the time worry, anxiety, any worry about the future. In our womb, for women, it's sexual assault, it's ancestral trauma of our maternal ancestors. And then something interesting in the foot, it can have to do with somebody close to you that is about to die because you can feel that they're being taken back into the earth, which is very interesting. So these are different types.
That's really interesting. And, you know, this topic is quite relevant because this week I have an episode that I did. I have this new chapter that I started where I'm talking about the body. So the first episode was mind and body connection. And it's quite fascinating that it's only now in 2025 where this information is being publicly shared. It's all over everywhere. But this is something that people are supposed to learn in like high school, preschool, so they can be aware of how they think, because how they think affects the rest of the body.
Exactly. Absolutely. And if you have any type of childhood trauma, or not even something that you would consider as trauma, right? But if something has happened to you as a child, let's say you were bullied as a child, or somebody said something, a parent made a remark that really impacted you, you don't know that until you actually dive into your subconscious and find out the reason or find out what it's you now, what it is causing you now. And I agree with you. It should be taught at school.
It should be, so that, you know, it's easier for people to avoid most of these things. So now I want us to talk a bit more about trauma. Talking about trauma in general, or maybe kind of identifying it and then unpacking it, and also the effects of suppressing it.
So with your culture and with a lot of other cultures also in Latin American cultures, and, you know, like, or even just men in general also, there is this image that, you know, you're weak for talking about trauma, or, you know, like everybody has trauma or whatever it is. Like trauma is seen as something like, you know, we have other focuses. Like people... Until now, the generations before us, they have either not been able to focus on trauma, or they didn't want to focus on trauma. Because, for example, my grandparents, they come from the world wars, right? I am German. So all of them come from the world wars. They've been in the world wars, some of them in two, some of them in one. So as they were growing up, they were really closed up, and therapy wasn't available. Talking about this wasn't available. Much research about this wasn't available. So only now, it has become more accepted that we actually get to talk about it, and that we also get to release this, because now in the Western world, especially, like, there is more and more modalities coming out and more people go to therapy. So it's actually like okay to work on your trauma, and you have the time and you have the capacity and you have the resources to talk about trauma as well. Back in World War II, or back in countries where it's a survival thing to get food on the table or light and water inside the house, right? How much time do you have to take care of your trauma? No time. So only in countries where we have the luxury, I say, to focus on our trauma and to work about it, where it's really becoming accepted, more and more accepted as well. And I find I spend a lot of time on the African continent, actually. Like, I'm in Zimbabwe right now. So
Nice.
I find that slowly people are becoming curious. And also in South Africa, I lived a long time in South Africa. People are becoming more and more curious and more open about these things, right? But
yes.
When you have to get food onto the table or worry about water or electricity or other things, then you don't have the luxury. So, but when you're ready to do that, then you actually realize when you work on your trauma and when you go to therapy and when you release your trauma from your physical body, you actually get to feel better. You get to have a freer mind, because things that have impacted you in the past because of your trauma, or that things that are impacting you right now because of your trauma, you get to release that. You get to change your habits. You get to live a life that is more free and more open, and there are more possibilities for you.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. So I have a book that probably by the time this interview is out, it's already out. And I speak about when I had my own experience where I released like a generational trauma. And from that day up until now, even though it was painful and vicious and uncontained and uncontrolled, it kind of healed me. It was like the start of my healing to where I am now, because the kind of trauma that we carry, especially as Africans, it gets passed on generation to generation to generation, that by the time maybe I have children and then my children have children, they still experience the pain that I went through, as much as it was slavery or abduction or, you know, being enslaved and all of those things. So it's quite interesting that it's a topic of the whole entire world, that we are finally realizing that, hey, some of the things that are happening, we can avoid these things if we all can just heal, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then also there's always a balance, right? There's the people who are like, I need to heal this, and then I need to heal that, and then I need to heal this and that, and da, da, da. And they keep going, And then it's all of a sudden it's too much healing, because there is a thing as too much healing. Because then
yes,
you're like, something is wrong with me, and then this thing is wrong with me, and then the other thing is wrong with me. So people start healing way too much on the other end of the spectrum, right? So we also have to find a middle ground and a balance of this.
100%. It almost becomes an addiction. I have a friend. I'm sorry for renting my friend out. He's done...
I think we all have those friends. We all have one of those friends, you know?
And this friend of mine has done 9 ayahuasca experiences. I just think that's like overkill. Like, you just need one. What else are you trying to like heal? I don't it's like too much. But no judgment. It's his journey, right? So maybe his journey requires him to do that. But then there's also like a borderline, a very thin line between overdoing and almost becoming an addiction. You get what I mean? So do you think this kind of things get addictive?
Absolutely. Because there's this high of, wow, I've uncovered something that has been holding me, or wow, now my life is going to change and I'm going to change and everything's going to change. And at first you are like super, super happy about it, and you're all in the flow and you're doing amazing things. And then again, life happens, you know, somebody passes away, or your cat dies, or something crazy happens. And then you're in the low again. And then you're like, fuck, now I need to heal again. And this is wrong with me now. And I need to heal more and deeper and da 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 da. And so people forget that there's actually like focus on the joy in your life too. Like, don't only focus on the healing and what you can do better, but just remember that life is joyful and it's here to be enjoyed, and it's here to for you to have fun, not only for you to heal.
100%. I like how you like covered that, because it's very important. Sometimes we tend to linger in the pain and in this thing and that while time is going, and we forget that, hey, instead of paying my attention to this thing, I could actually be living in the moment. I could actually be appreciating the people that are around me in this particular time, than me being constantly feeling like, oh, this or that, or I need to do this, when there is something joyful right in front of you, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I have one more question before we go into the practical tips that are like a takeaway. The question I wanted to ask you is, when it comes to just this healing, either of your mind, subconscious mind, your trauma, all of that, what do you advise people? Is it something that they can uncover, like trauma that is maybe 5 years old, 10 years old, or maybe from the moment they were born? or do you kind of see through generations back?
It can be both, right? So I will always give in. So when I do hypnotherapy with my clients, I take them back to a safe space, and then I take them down a path. And this path has three more paths. One will go to a past life. Another will go to an ancestral cause, or another will go to the childhood. So there are three possible things that could have caused the trauma, or that could have caused the condition or the physical ailment or disease. There are three ways to explore that. And then the client's subconscious will tell them, okay, you need to go down the left path, or that's the one with the past life, or you need to go down the middle path with the ancestral stuff, or you need to go down the right path with the childhood things, right? So your subconscious actually knows which path to go down to. And in modalities like hypnotherapy or breathwork or even EFT, you can actually explore that, and you can find out when your trauma started. Because sometimes you think it started in childhood, but it actually started in the past life.
I like that. And another question also that came as you were speaking is, what happens to those people that don't believe in past lives and ancestral healing and all of that? Come across clients like that? How do you kind of deal with people like that?
Yes. So interestingly enough, I have come across these people, and then I always ask them, are you open to past lives? And then they say, I don't really know, or we can try, or because they have never experienced anything like that, but they're open enough to go down that route. And if it happens, and also with the ancestral things, sometimes they don't believe in it, but then all of a sudden their grandma shows up, or their great grandfather or something, right? Somebody shows up, and then they're like, maybe there is something to it. And then after the session, they really start to dive down that path, or they start exploring. But I have never encountered anyone who says like, well, okay, actually, I've worked with people from different religions who said, past life is not really my thing. So in the hypnosis session, I adjusted so that they will not have the possibility to go down the path with the past life. They only have the ancestral stuff and the childhood stuff, which also works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it does work, and I adjust to every single person in my own sessions in a way that they feel comfortable, and in a way that they feel seen and heard when it comes to their beliefs, because not everybody believes in it. You're right.
Yeah. All right, cool. So thank you so much. If you could leave our listeners with one message about the power of your mind, body healing, what could that message be?
I want to say that if you have tried everything when it comes to your body, or when it comes to a physical disease or ailment that you have, when you have tried medicine, different doctors, nutrition, exercise, all of the things, and something is still not working, then please do look into the psychological root cause, or the emotional root cause of whatever it is that you have going on. Because chances are that you will explore a whole nother world, a beautiful world, and that you will be able to reduce your pain, to reduce your symptoms, and to really increase your emotional well-being as well.
Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennifer. I think the audience are really going to love this. So thank you guys for tuning in. Do remember to subscribe, like, share, leave a comment. Let's keep this conversation flowing. If you have any questions for Dr. Jenny, you can drop in the chat box, and I'm sure she will come and answer on the page. So thank you once again. Where can people find you on social media? How can they connect?
Yes. So you can connect with me on Instagram, on Facebook, on my website. It's called mindyoursubconscious.com. And I have a lot of free meditations as well that you can do. I'm on TikTok as well. I'm on YouTube. So I'm literally everywhere. If you just type, definitely find me. And also, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. You have beautiful energy, and I love the work that you do. So keep on going.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I hope we will have you again on this show.
Happy to come back.
Awesome.